Story tonight is another one of the wonderful parables of the Lord Jesus. The story of the wise and the foolish virgins. A virgin is an unmarried woman. 10 virgins went out to meet the bridegroom. So don't forget the name of this story, the wise and the foolish virgins, and it's found in Matthew 25, verses 1 to 12. And this story concerns itself with the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Now I want you to listen very carefully and look very carefully at this chart that you see before. Because this story concerns itself with the second coming of the Lord Jesus. The next great event in the history of the world is the coming again in person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The last sight the world had of the Lord Jesus, he was hanging on a cross in agony and blood. Despised and rejected. His face wet with the spittle of men. Crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The next sight the world will get is of that same Jesus, now crowned with glory and honor, coming in his glory with the holy angels. And every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And every Christian girl and boy here tonight, and I hope there are many Christian girls and boys here, I mean real Christians, will hail the coming of the Lord Jesus with great delight. In view of the second coming of the Lord Jesus, our Savior told this parable of the wise and foolish virgins and emphasized these 5 great truths in regard to his second coming. First, the certainty of his coming. If there's one thing more certain than anything else, it is the second coming of the Lord Jesus. I remember many years ago talking with an atheist. We spent a whole Sunday afternoon, wasted it, trying to show him from the Word of God that it was true. At last, disappointed, we left him. As we got to the garden gate, he shouted, "Say, there is one thing I am certain of." We said, "What's that?" He answered, "Death." Now that's just the one thing that I am not certain of, and no Christian is certain of. If there's one thing more certain than anything else, it is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back again. How do we know? He said to himself, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. If I go away," has he gone away? Yes, the Savior's gone away. "I will come again." Has he come again yet? No. Therefore, the coming of the Lord Jesus is still future. I will come again. Then notice the uncertain time of that coming. When is the Lord Jesus going to come back again? Nobody knows. No one knows. In fact, the Savior himself said, "No man knoweth the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man cometh." He may come tonight. He may not come for 100 years. I don't know, you don't know, and no one knows, save the Lord Jesus himself and the Father and the Holy Spirit. They know just exactly when that great moment is going to arrive. And the Lord Jesus, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, shall raise the dead and change the living and catch them up to be with him and to dwell with him and to enjoy his presence forever. Third, the need for preparation in view of the second coming of the Lord Jesus. What's the motto of the Boy Scouts of America? What's the motto? Be prepared. Be prepared. And girls and boys, I wish you to adopt that motto in view of the coming of the Lord Jesus. Are you prepared? Listen, if you're not saved, you're not prepared. If the Lord Jesus were to come now and you're not saved, you'd be left behind. And the world would be left without any Christians in it. Think of it. How would you like to live in a world with no Christians? Oh, there'd be lots of religious people left behind. Lots of moral people, lots of church members, lots of folks who have been baptized and confirmed and who take communion quite regularly. Quite a number of respectable people, good citizens, will be left behind. But not one Christian will be left behind. Every Christian will be taken. I wouldn't like to live in a world without Christians. Would you? No, indeed. So be prepared. Make sure that if the Lord Jesus were to come tonight, you'd be one of those who would go to be with him. Fourth, the blessedness of those who are ready. Blessed is that servant who, when his Lord cometh, he shall find waiting and watching. All the joy of those who are ready when Christ comes. They'll go to be with him, and they'll be like him forever. And fifth, the woe of the unprepared at the coming of the Lord Jesus. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. When once the master of the house is risen up and shut the door, then shall he begin to knock and say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he from within shall say, be gone from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Notice, he doesn't say, I once knew you, but because you've been unfaithful to me, I've forgotten about you. He says, I never knew you. And people in that day are going to say, but Lord, you surely must remember me. Don't you remember when I joined the church? Don't you remember when I got baptized? Don't you remember when I got confirmed? Don't you remember that I said my prayers every night? I never knew you. Oh, how sad that the Lord Jesus will have to say to certain people, I never knew you. And you know why he will say, I never knew you? Because they never knew him. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your own dear Savior, he doesn't know you. Now then, are you prepared for the second coming of the Lord Jesus? Now, in order to emphasize, to drive home those five great fundamental facts, the Lord Jesus told this story of the wise and foolish virgins. He said, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. The bridegroom, of course, is the Lord Jesus. 5 of them were wise, 5 of them were foolish. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The foolish took no oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now there were 4 things in which each of these virgins was alike. Each was called by the same name. Just as today most everybody calls himself a Christian. Why, people would be insulted. If you were to inquire, are you a Christian? They'd say, do I look like a heathen? Why, of course I'm a Christian. I was born in a Christian country. I say Christian prayers. I go to a Christian church. Well, of course I'm a Christian. The fact of the matter is this. There are thousands and thousands of people who call themselves Christians that are not Christians at all. They've never been born again. They've never been really saved. They've never really definitely received the Lord Jesus as their own personal Savior into their hearts. They've never confessed Him as the Lord of their lives. And consequently, though they call themselves Christians, they're not Christians at all. Make sure you're not a sham Christian, girls and boys. Second, they all look alike. Can you tell by looking at those virgins which one is wise and which one is foolish? No, you can't. You can't tell by looking at a girl or a boy whether that person is a Christian or not. Why, some boys and girls are very nice on the outside. My, they're handsome. Have a good time. You can't tell what's inside their hearts. And some girls and boys, they don't look quite so nice. Have a clean, white heart within them and know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Third, they were all on the same errand. Had you inquired of each of these virgins, where are you going? We're going to meet the bridegroom. Where are you going? I'm going to meet the bridegroom. Where are you going? I'm going to meet the bridegroom. Each would have replied in that same way. Just as when you ask girls and boys, are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. I hope so. I hope so. I hope so. Everybody hopes they're going to go to heaven. But the fact remains, only 5 of these went in when the bridegroom came. But each one of these virgins carried a lamp. Each had a light. And that lamp speaks of testimony. Speaks of a reason that they gave for believing they were ready to meet the bridegroom. Whether the reason was good or not doesn't enter into the case right now. For instance, look at this person. Are you ready to meet the bridegroom? Oh, yes. What makes you hope that you're going to meet the bridegroom? Well, I'm doing the best I can to all the people I can, as often as ever I can, and I hope my good works will fit me to meet the bridegroom. Is that a good testimony or a bad testimony? That's a bad testimony. If that's all you've got, if that's all you're trusting in for your soul salvation, you're just a poor lost sinner. Are you ready to meet the bridegroom? I hope so. What makes you hope so? Well, I go to the church and I say my prayers. Is that a good reason? No. Now, it's nice to be a member of the church. It's nice to say your prayers. It's nice to read your Bible and go to Sunday school and behave yourself in your home. But that won't save you. Faith and faith in Christ is the alone thing that can save you. Are you going to be the right one? Yes, thank God I am. How do you know? Because I came as a sinner. I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me, and through faith in him, God has told me in his words that I'm saved. Is that a good reason?
Yeah.
You see, they all carry the lamp. Now then, five of them were wise, five were foolish. There are two classes of girls and boys here tonight. Those that are saved, and those that are lost. Those that are ready, those that are not ready. Those that have been born again, those that haven't been born again. Those who know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, because they've trusted him as such, and those that do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. I don't know to which class you belong. You must decide that for yourself. Now, what made the difference was this. Listen carefully. Are you listening? The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The vessel and the lamp were two different things. The vessel was a vessel or a pot which would contain oil for replenishing the oil in the lamp. He was burning. But the foolish had no oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, does this person have any oil in the vessel? You can't tell. You can't tell. Now, the vessel in the Bible is a picture of your body. My body, your body, is a vessel. Every Christian has the oil, and the oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. When a person becomes a real Christian, God's Holy Spirit takes up his abode in that person's body. And that person is born of the Spirit. His body becomes a temple of God. He has the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within him. I can't tell by looking at people whether God's Holy Spirit is dwelling in their body or not. So you see, the difference was something that could not be seen with the human eye. Only God can tell whether there's oil in that vessel. Only God knows whether or not you have been really born again and you are ready to be the bride. Now then, as the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. As the bridegroom tarried, the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus, has been gone a long, long time. Nearly 2,000 years have passed since the Savior said, I will come again, and he hasn't come yet. We sometimes feel like singing, O Lord Jesus, how long? How long ere we shout the glad song? Christ returneth, hallelujah. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, we say with the last verse of the Bible. Savior hasn't come yet. And what are those wise virgins doing? Fast asleep. And you know when a person sleeps? His eyes are shut. Not doing anything. And there are hundreds and hundreds of Christians, really born again Christians, who have gone to sleep on the job. Their eyes are shut to their privileges as Christians and to their responsibilities as Christians. Why, instead of those wise virgins going to those foolish virgins and saying, excuse me, are you ready to leave the bridegroom? I hope so. Do you have oil in your vessel with your lamp? Well, I think so, but make sure. Oh, I haven't got any oil in my vessel with my lamp. Well, you better go and get some right away. Instead of doing that, what are they doing? Sleeping. Sleeping. And God's work of sleeping Christian is this. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from amongst the dead ones, and Christ shall give thee light. It is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. I wonder how many of you Christian girls and boys have gone to sleep on the job, and instead of living for Christ in your home, and at school, and at play. Eyes are closed to your privileges and to your responsibilities, and you're doing nothing to witness for the Lord Jesus in your home, and at school, and at play. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. They all looked exactly alike. Yes. Very difficult to distinguish a sleeping Christian from a dead sinner. They almost look alike. Very difficult indeed. But at midnight, a most unexpected hour, at midnight, just when you'd least expect a bridegroom to come, there came a cry. Awake! The bridegroom is coming! Go ye out to meet him! Oh my! That's the shout we're all waiting for, those of us who are saved. With the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Oh joy, oh delight, should we go without dying? No sickness, no sorrow, no sin, no crying. Caught up in a moment to be with the Lord. Awake! The bridegroom cometh! Go ye out to meet him! Then, all those virgins arose. When the truth of the second coming of the Lord Jesus grips the heart of a child of God, it causes him to stand up. And what else did those wise virgins do? They began to trim their lamps. While they had slept, a great deal of dirt and grit had got into the wick of their lamps, and instead of their lamps shining with a clear, bright, pure light, like a little candle burning in the night, it was a kind of a smoky thing. Not very pleasant to look at and to smell. And so the first thing those wise virgins did, when the cry, "Behold the bridegroom cometh," reached their ears, was to take away from their wick all that which prevented the clear outshining of the light. And when the great truth of the second coming of the Lord Jesus grips the heart of a child of God, he will cause him to remove from his life all that which he knows is hindering the Lord Jesus from being glorified in his life. He'll remove from the wick of his life that carelessness and prayerlessness and worldliness. Those questionable habits will all go when the great truth of the second coming of Christ grips his heart. Yes, the wise virgins arose and they trimmed their lamps, and then they took the vessels with their oil, and they pour that spare oil into their lamps, so that once again their lamps shone with a clear, pure light. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And now those foolish virgins took their vessels. Say, I don't have any oil in my vessel. Neither do I, neither do I, neither do I, neither do I. Oh, they discovered their loss too late. Girls and boys, don't wait until the Lord Jesus comes to discover whether or not you have the oil in your vessel with your lamp. Make sure that you're a real born-again Christian right here and right now. They discovered they had no oil in their vessel. They had a profession, but they didn't have possession. They looked like virgins ready to meet the bridegroom, but in reality, they were not. They had no oil in their vessel. And so, the foolish virgins came to the wise virgins. And they said, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are gone out. We can't meet the bridegroom in darkness. We've discovered we forgot the oil. Oh, give us some of your oil. Could those wise virgins give those foolish virgins their oil? Why, no. I can't give you the Holy Spirit. No Christian can give to another person the Holy Spirit of God. Only God can put the Holy Spirit of God within you. And he will only do that when you take your place as a lost and guilty sinner and believe that the Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross bore your sins and took your place and died for you. And then when you receive him by faith as your Savior, then, soon as you're all you venture on Christ's atoning blood, God's Holy Spirit will enter and you'll be born of God. We cannot give you the Holy Spirit. God is our witness, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him, so said Peter. The Holy Spirit whom God hath given to them that obey him. You must obey the gospel. You must put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus for yourself, as a poor, lost, and guilty sinner. Receive the Lord Jesus into your heart. Thank him for loving you. Thank him for dying for you. Trust him as your Savior. Own him as your Lord. And then, and only then will you have oil in your vessel, but no man can give it to you. No minister, no church can give it to you. Baptism cannot give it to you. Confirmation cannot give it to you. Church membership cannot give it to you. Only God can give you the Holy Spirit. Not so, said they. Lest we have not enough for ourselves and for thee, go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. So we tell you to go to the Lord Jesus now. Don't wait any longer. Make sure that if Christ were to come tonight, you would be one of those who would be ready and would go to be with him. And now comes the tragedy of this story. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Then those wise virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said, give us of your oil, our lamps are gone out. Not so, lest we have not enough for ourselves and for thee. Go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. The foolish virgin, but the bridegroom came. They're going into the darkness. Their backs were to the bridegroom. Their backs to the beautiful, bright hall of light. And the bridegroom came in all the glory of his person. And those poor, foolish virgins were going into the darkness, trying to get oil to fit themselves for the welcoming of the bridegroom. Tragedy of a loss discovered too late. Then, they that were ready went in with him, that's the bridegroom, into the marriage. They that were ready, that's preparation. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you saved? Are your sins forgiven? Are you a real Christian or only a sham Christian? They that were ready, that's preparation, went in. Here is salvation in its final sense. Going in with the Lord Jesus. For when Christ comes forth from that glorious celestial city, he'll call us to go to be with him into that city to dwell with him forever. They went in. They went in with him, we are told. There's fellowship. Eternal fellowship. We're going to be with the bridegroom and be like the bridegroom for all eternity to sing his praise together with all the redeemed of all the ages. They went in with him unto the marriage. Oh, what a time of rejoicing that shall be. An eternal feast that shall never know an evening sunset. Oh, the joy, the bliss of those who are ready when Christ comes. They that were ready went in with him into the marriage. And then what? The door was shut. The door that was opened to allow the five wise virgins to enter in, together with the bridegroom, is now shut. Afterward came those foolish virgins, and they discovered the door was shut. Behind that door they could hear the sound of song and laughter, praise and worship and adoration, every note of joy. And so they knocked at that door. Lord, Lord, open unto us. Open unto us, Lord, open unto us. But that door was never opened. You see, when the Lord Jesus closes that door, he's not going to be opened. When once the master of the house hath risen up and shut the door, then shall ye begin to knock and say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he shall say, Begone from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Oh, how they wept, those virgins. Oh, please, Lord, open the door. Let's come in. Doubtless that's what they did in Noah's day. When Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives, eight people in all, entered through that open door of the ark. We are told God shut the door. And then God opened the windows of heaven. And God unlocked the great fountains of the deep. And down came that devastating flood from above and up from beneath. And I see those people knocking at that fast closed door and saying, Noah, Noah, let's come in, let's come in. You were right and we were wrong. We're very sorry we didn't come in when we had the chance. Please open the door and let us come in. Could Noah open that door and let them in? No. No. Because I called and ye refused. Because I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. I also will laugh at your calamity and mock when your fear cometh. Oh, don't wait until it's too late to discover whether or not you're a real Christian. Make sure that you're a true Christian right here and right now. Afterwards. Yes, all their prayers, all their tears, all their regrets were in vain. No room, no room, no room. The Lamb's bright, bridal feast of love, attended by all the redeemed. No room left now for anyone else. Seats are all full, and the door is shut. My, what a change is going to take place one of these days when the Lord Jesus comes. Father, who is a Christian, will be taken. Mother, who is a Christian, will be taken. And that boy of theirs, careless and indifferent, who laughed at his father and his mother's faith, turned his back upon God and upon the Lord Jesus and plunged into the pleasures of this world will be left behind for those awful judgments that God is going to pour out upon a Christ-rejecting world. Yes, God is going to take vengeance upon those that obey not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The door was shut. The door was shut when the Lord Jesus comes in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Girls and boys, don't wait until the door is locked. Don't wait until it's too late. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, then shall ye begin to knock and say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The sands of time in the hourglass of the day of grace fast running out. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now is the time. Put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus. What distinguished these wise virgins from the foolish virgins is this. The wise virgins knew the bridegroom. Foolish virgins did not know the bridegroom. What distinguishes between saved boys and girls and lost boys and girls is simply this. Saved boys and girls know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. They personally received Him as such. There came a time in their lives when as poor, lost, and guilty sinners, they believed the wonderful story of Jesus and His love. They believed that the Lord Jesus on that cross willingly, gladly, lovingly bore their sins and allowed all God's judgment against their sins to fall on Him so that He might die in their stead. And they said to the Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving me, a poor, guilty sinner, enough to go to that cross and bear my sins and die for me. And because you love me, and because you died for me, Lord Jesus, I'm going to take you as my Savior right here and now. And they did. And what happened? That moment, God's Holy Spirit came into them. That moment, they had a new nature. They were born again. They were saved. Their sins were forgiven. They became the possessors of eternal life. But if that's never taken place in your life, remember, you're not saved. Christ were to come, you'd be left behind for those judgments that God is going to pour out upon the world. Here is the door of opportunity, leading into the garden of God's salvation. Where there is light, where there is life, where there is liberty, where there is pardon and peace and power. This is the door of opportunity, wide open now. But it's not going to be wide open forever. An opportunity of a lifetime must be grasped in the lifetime of that opportunity, and very often that is quite short. Now is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Here is another door. Outside that door, the loving Savior is still knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. The Savior is standing outside the door of your heart. But you must open that door. You say, how can I open that door? By trusting Him as your Savior. By saying to Him and meaning it right from your heart, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. There's room in my heart for Thee. I thank Thee for loving me. I thank Thee for dying for me. And I take you now as my own dear personal Savior. And the Savior will come in. He'll come in and bring His peace, His joy, His salvation, all the blessings of heaven. Don't keep Him standing outside your heart's door. Just now your doubtings give o'er. Just now reject Christ no more. Just now go open the door, and let the Lord Jesus, who loved you and gave Himself for you, come into your heart to be your Savior and the Lord of your life. But here's another door. Death has come. And do you think death is going to knock at your door and say, may I please come in? No, indeed. When death comes, he says, open that door. In fact, he doesn't even ask you to open it. He forces his way in. Think you death will carry knocking when the door is shut? Nay, alas, thou guilty creature, hast thou then forgot? Jesus tarried long to call thee. Now he waiteth not. Death comes in with reckless footsteps to the hall and hut. Matters not how much money a person has, how much power, how high his position may be, how beautiful a home he may live in, how beautifully furnished, what kind of who loved you and gave himself for you, commit your heart to be your Savior and the Lord of your life. But here's another door. Death has come. And do you think death is going to knock at your door and say, may I please come in? No, indeed. When death comes, he says, open that door. In fact, he doesn't even ask you to open it. He forces his way in. Think you death will carry knocking when the door is shut? Nay, alas, thou guilty creature, hast thou then forgot? Jesus tarried long to call thee. Now he waiteth not. Death comes in with reckless footsteps to the hall and hut. Matters not how much money a person has, how much power, how high his position may be, how beautiful a home he may live in, how beautifully furnished, what kind of a car he drives, what sort of a salary he gets. Death comes in. Death comes in. Make sure that when death comes in to your house and hut, that you're ready. I was at the funeral today of a dear friend of mine in Baltimore. And on Easter Sunday, he went to be with the Lord Jesus. But that's what happens when a Christian dies. His spirit goes immediately into the presence of the Lord Jesus, which is very, very far better. So that when death comes, all death does to the child of God is to usher the spirit of that child of God into the presence of the Lord Jesus, which is very much better. The body is lowered into the grave. But at the coming of the Lord Jesus, the spirit of that Christian, already with Christ, is going to come with Christ and be reunited to that raised and changed and glorified body to be in the likeness of the Lord Jesus forever. Oh, girls and boys, make sure, after hearing this story of the wise and the foolish virgins, that you are one of those wise virgins. That you have oil in your vessel with your lamp. Not only have a testimony, but you have a reason for the hope that is within you. And you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And gladly own him to be the Lord of your life. God grant. It is very nice. You may make that decision. And definitely trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So that when Christ comes, you'll be amongst those who will hear his voice. Who will rise to meet him. And be with him. And be like him forever. May he grant it for his name's sake. Let us.